Our scripture reading this evening is from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll read through into chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 11, the context of Hebrews, I'm sure it's well known to you, was written principally to Hebrew believers, to Jewish Christians who were under pressure from the context in which they were living to retreat back into first century Judaism. Such was the persecution that was beginning to be experienced by them. And so the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging them to press on, to persevere in the faith. And chapter 11 is really drawing their attention to those who kept on going in the Old Testament, their ancestors who by faith were looking to the promised Redeemer. They're in a much more privileged position because the Redeemer has come. The Messiah has appeared. His work on the cross has been completed. And so this is written for their encouragement and for our encouragement as well. So Hebrews chapter 11. And from verse 1, let us hear the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, because became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So reads God's holy word. Now turn with me again to Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we were considering the faith of Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, and now this evening we will consider their son, the faith of their son Moses, who is also highlighted among the heroes and heroines of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The focus of our attention will be on verses 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The life of Moses is, to my mind anyway, one of the most colourful of all Bible characters. As a child, he was supposed to be thrown into the River Nile, but he was kept safe because his parents hid him. Then at 3 months he was placed in a papyrus basket and set among the reeds at the edge of the mighty river Nile. Then he was rescued by none other than an Egyptian princess. He was given back to his mother until he was weaned. And then for the next 35 years or so, he was brought up in the palace, enjoying all the luxuries that an Egyptian court could so easily provide. And then to top it all, he had a brilliant education, the best that this world could offer at that time in history. According to Stephen, the first Christian martyr, he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, the leading world power at that time. And we are told that he was mighty in speech and action, mighty in word and deed. At the age of 40, Moses' life took an entirely different direction. At this stage, his faith became visible. His faith found expression. He publicly renounced his Egyptian status and fully identified with the people of God. His abortive attempt to help his people caused him to flee to the land of Midian, where he was a shepherd, a humble shepherd, for 40 years. What a different kind of lifestyle that would have been, far away from the luxuries of an Egyptian palace. Then, at the age of 80, God called him to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt to the land of promise. In other words, at the age of 80, he began his life's work. And having led them to the edge of Canaan, he died at the ripe old age of 120. So what a life. What a life Moses had. What was the secret of it? How did he keep going? How did he endure all the difficulties and trials and obstacles that he had to overcome? Well, the simple answer is provided for us here in Hebrews 11. Introducing Moses, verse 23 says, "By faith Moses did this and that and the other thing." And then verse 24, "By faith Moses when he was growing up." So the secret of the life of Moses is his faith in the Lord God Almighty. And as we look more closely at the faith of this Old Testament spiritual giant, we will see again what faith looks like and be challenged as we seek to live the life of faith in 2022. So first of all, Moses' faith centered on a person. Moses' faith centered on a person. The text in the book of Hebrews identifies the person. In verse 26 we read that he, Moses, endured as seeing him who is invisible. So by the eye of faith, Moses was able to see an invisible person. So who could that be? Well, it could only be one person. It could only be God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the person of the Godhead that he saw is identified for us in verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He endured as seeing Christ, who is invisible. Now, the obvious objection that many will raise at this point is that Christ did not appear on earth until 1400 years after the time of Moses. So how could he have seen him? Well, to answer this question, we need to grasp the fact that although Jesus Christ did not appear on earth until over 2,000 years ago, he has existed with the Father and with the Holy Spirit from all eternity. And as well as that, his coming to earth as a saviour, as a deliverer, was announced immediately after the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. He's there described in Genesis 3:15 as the seed of the woman, the one who would become the deliverer of his people, the one who would come to earth to save his people from their sins. And each generation of faithful Jews lived in expectation of his coming. And they saw him. They saw him by faith on the horizon of history. History that was to still unfold. One of those faithful ones was Abraham. And of him, Jesus told the Jews of his day, John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it." So he was another one who saw him who is invisible. He saw it, and it brought joy to his heart. He saw him and was glad. And Moses also saw him on the horizon of history as the prophet, the great prophet, the ultimate prophet who was to come. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, he was telling the Jews, the Israelites around him, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now the question is, when did Moses come to recognize Jesus? When did he come to see him who is invisible? When was his faith centered upon this divine person? Well, the answer is we don't know. We don't know precisely. We do know that from infancy until about the age of 6 or 7, he was brought up by his godly parents. We do know that the seed sown in those childhood years did bear fruit. Maybe not immediately, but most certainly when Moses was 40 years of age, because it was at that point that he publicly identified with the people of God. The important thing that we recognize is this, that the secret of Moses' great life was his trust, his faith, his reliance upon the Messiah, upon the seed of the woman, upon Jesus Christ. He was at the center of it. Moses endured because he saw him who is invisible. And what endurance he had, just to think of one or two things. He endured when he discovered that the people had made a golden calf, when he came down from the mountain after having received the Ten Commandments. He endured, he persevered when he heard the report of the 10 spies who believed that they could not take the promised land. It was too difficult. It was impossible. He endured, he persevered when his own brother and sister spoke against him. Difficult that must have been. He also endured when the people of Israel repeatedly grumbled and complained to him during their years of wilderness wandering. So how did he keep going through these and other things? What was the secret of his leadership? The Lord Jesus Christ. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And although Moses lived approximately 1400 years before Christ came to earth, he was looking forward in faith to the coming Redeemer. We are living on earth over 2,000 years after the coming of Christ. We look back in faith to redemption accomplished, to redemption applied to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, like Moses, you will face many challenges. You will face many disappointments. You will encounter much opposition. How will you keep going? Only if you keep your eye of faith focused on Jesus. Only if you keep looking to him. Moses endured because he saw him who is invisible. And friends, that's the only way that you will be able to endure. That's the only way that you'll be able to keep going. But if you're sitting here this evening and you're not yet a Christian, then Jesus Christ is not in your life. And in reality, you don't have him to turn to in a crisis. Depending on the nature of your problem, you may seek help from your doctor, or from your solicitor, or from your accountant, or from your counsellor, your local counsellor. But the help of these people is very, very limited. They may be the best of men or the best of women in their area of expertise, but they're only human beings at best. Such is the human condition of every man, that we all, every single one of us, need divine help. And that helper is Jesus Christ. He is the one that you must seek to save you from the penalty that your sin deserves. He is the one that you must follow as your master and your friend. Jesus is the one that you must love as your Savior and your King. And if you do, if you turn to him tonight, he will save you. That's his promise. If you turn to him tonight, he will help you and he will bless you. And he will enable you to endure, to persevere through the tough patches of life. And every single person has their tough patches. Moses' life centered on a person. Then secondly, Moses' faith identified with the people. Moses, for about 35 years, lived in the royal palace of Pharaoh. There he would enjoy all the privileges and all the pleasures associated with being a prince in what was the world superpower of that era. But when he came to believe in the one true God, when his faith was centered in the God of creation and the God of providence and the God of salvation, with what people would he now identify? That's the question. I'm sure it never crossed the mind of Pharaoh's daughter, not even for a second, that her adopted son would not be both a royal and a loyal Egyptian all the days of his life. After all, as her son, he had the world at his feet. He had every privilege and every pleasure within his reach, even the strong possibility of becoming the next Pharaoh. We ask the question again. When Moses came to believe in God, when his faith was centered on the Messiah, with whom would he throw in his lot? With which people would he now identify? Well, the text supplies the answer. Verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And then in Acts 7, verse 23, in the sermon of Stephen, we read about Moses. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And then the account in Exodus tells us, chapter 2, verse 11. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Note how the Hebrews are described. They are his people. They are his brothers. They were the people of God. And as Moses was now looking to the Lord to be his God, he recognized, he understood that his place was with them. They indeed were his brothers. Not simply because they were like him. Not simply because they'd all descended from their ancestor Abraham. But because they all belonged to the same spiritual family. Moses' heart was now intertwined with these people who were enslaved by the Egyptians. So much so was his heart intertwined with them that he could not ignore their affliction. Now, there are many things that we could say about this incident, but the primary thing is this: Moses had made a choice. He had relinquished the life of pleasure and privilege associated with being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he was now throwing in his lot. Instead, he was now identifying with the Israelites, the afflicted people of God. Now this evening, if you're a Christian, if you're looking in faith to Jesus Christ, then you must do as Moses did. You must throw in your lot with the people of God, for they are your spiritual brothers and sisters. They constitute the family to which you belong. This family is collectively known as the church. Now, there's one true church of Jesus Christ, and it is worldwide, and to it belongs every true believer. However, we must not forget that this worldwide church is made up of many faithful congregations of the Lord's people. Many faithful congregations of the Lord's people who have a local identity and a local witness, and for the most part, a local building where they meet for worship. You need to identify with them. Trinity is your congregation. That is, unless you're a visitor here this evening. The members here at Trinity are your brothers and your sisters as you seek to serve Christ together in this part of Mossley, in these outer suburbs of Belfast. And we trust that many of the Lord's people will find a spiritual home among you. There will be some like Moses. They were with you as children. You maybe haven't seen them for many years, but then the seed sown in childhood years bears fruit, and they return, and they will receive a welcome from you. Others from different backgrounds will come, and they will identify with you because they recognize that you love the same Savior. You have a common identity in Christ. Then there will be seekers who will come to hear the gospel, in time profess faith, and will join you and become part of this spiritual family. And God, through his word, teaches us to act like a family, to pray for one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to weep with those who weep, and to rejoice with those who do rejoice. Now, if you are a Christian, you should not attempt in any way to have a foot in both camps. If at this moment you have fully identified with the Church of Jesus Christ, if you have not fully identified with the Church of Jesus Christ, then you have a choice to make. Remember the challenge thrown out by Elijah to the Jews of his day, 1 Kings 18:21. How long will you go limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Or as Jesus put it in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, some of you will respond by saying that, like Moses, you've given up the world and its values. But the question is, have you fully identified with the Church of Jesus Christ? If not, if you haven't, remember the Bible knows nothing, absolutely nothing of Lone Ranger Christians, Christians who don't commit to any particular congregation. When you turn your back on the world, you need formally to commit yourself to the body of Christ, to become a member of a local congregation, to become part of the bride of Christ and there fulfill your responsibility as a member. Moses' faith centered on a person. Moses' faith identified with a people. And then thirdly, Moses' faith associated with persecution. Moses' faith associated with persecution. What did Moses' choice entail? Verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Or verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Actions lead to consequences. However, when making decisions in life, we should not be influenced overly much by consequences. Our overriding concern should be to decide on what is right and what is good and what is in accordance with God's revealed will as it is set forth in the Bible. And having honoured God, we should leave the consequences with him. Moses, he had made the deliberate choice to identify with the people of God, to align himself with his brothers, the members of the Hebrew race. Now that decision had consequences. It meant forsaking the glitter and tinsel of every luxury and every pleasure and every sin that the Egyptian court held out to him as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And by contrast, it meant taking on the reproach and the scorn and the ridicule that came with identifying with the enslaved people of God. At that time in Egypt, their lot was not an easy one. In Exodus 1:13 we read, and the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel, so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves. They treated them brutally. They treated them ruthlessly. They enslaved them. And that oppression led to the policy of murdering all the Hebrew baby boys by throwing them into the River Nile. So at that time in history, it was not easy to be known as a servant of the living God. We can see the contempt the Egyptian king had for the Lord when Moses and Aaron went to him with the divine request. The response from Pharaoh was, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go?" So Moses became a fugitive. In coming to the defense of a Hebrew slave, he struck an Egyptian, and such was the force of the blow that the Egyptian fell to the ground, never to rise again. Moses hoped there would be no witnesses, but witnesses there were. And soon the information reached the ears of Pharaoh. In Exodus 2:15 we read, when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. Moses fled and was a fugitive for 40 years, living no doubt a Spartan existence as a shepherd in the land of Midian. Are you thinking of becoming a Christian and fully identifying with the people of God? Well, before you do, count the cost. Are you prepared for the stigma that often comes when you openly declare your allegiance to Jesus Christ? Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 16:24-25, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, to an extent, in following Christ, we throw away our former life. We lose our life, just as Moses did. Moses was throwing away his life in one sense, by identifying with God and his people, but in reality, he was saving it. Moses understood that. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And the treasures of Egypt were plentiful, were luxuriant, were magnificent. For he was looking to the reward. He was looking forward to heaven and the glory associated with his home call. The opposition is what we face in the West for our love and loyalty to Jesus Christ. In many other parts of the world, it is suffering, it is deprivation, it is imprisonment, and even death itself. But God, remember, is no man's debtor. Peter tells the persecuted to rejoice, 1 Peter 4:13-14, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Paul encourages those who persevere under trial, and he knew what trial was all about. He writes to the Corinthians and said in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, all the treasures of Egypt, they are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So if you are contemplating becoming a believer, becoming a Christian, yes, count the cost, but don't let the cost put you off. Do you think Moses ever regretted for a second the choice that he made? Not for a moment. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's how you will persevere in your life of faith. That's how you will keep on going, by keeping your eyes on Jesus, the one who is always with you by his Spirit, the one who keeps spurring you on by his word. Jesus Christ, who provides support and encouragement through your minister and through your elders and through your fellow members here in Trinity. And then, when your life of faith on earth has ended, Jesus Christ is the one who will welcome you into the Father's house in glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we do thank you for your servant Moses. We know, our Father, that when the call came to him to fulfill his life's work in leading your people out of Egypt, he was reluctant. He felt overwhelmed by the challenge of the task. But you promised to go with him, and we thank you that he went and he became your servant, and he became under you the deliverer of your people out of Egypt into the promised land. And so, our Father, we thank you for the challenge that he sets to us this evening by his life of faith, being prepared to relinquish all the pleasures and privileges associated with being a prince in the palace to being a pauper in the land of Midian. And yet, our Father, used mightily by you to lead your people not only out of Egypt but through the wilderness for those 40 troublesome years. And so, our Father, we thank you that he could persevere through everything because his eye of faith was in Jesus Christ. And so enable us, every single one of us this evening, to keep the focus on Jesus Christ, not only when we meet here for worship on the Lord's Day, but every day of the week, and that doing so, we will be enabled to persevere through the tough patches of life, which will indeed cross our path from time to time. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that the minister of this congregation will bring through your word week by week. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that the elders will bring through their pastoral visits. We thank you for the encouragement that members of the congregation will provide as they interact the one with the other. And then, our Father, we do pray that you would enable anyone who is not yet a believer to repent this evening and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know the joy of following him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and our exceeding great reward. Amen.